The Lord said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Recently, I've had some conversations with very sincere Protestant evangelical Christians, and I remember one succinctly where the person said to me, "I believe in Jesus," and I had no doubt that it was true what she was telling me. And then she went on to ask, "Then why would it be important that I become a member of the Orthodox Church?" And our conversation went on for a good hour, and I don't think it ended up where she was deciding to pursue becoming a member of the Orthodox Church, but all I could say is, well, at least we've had some exchange, and we can focus on what we agree on, and what we disagree, then put that in the hands of God, pray about it. I've had conversations also with people that are members of the Orthodox Church, and at times there's disagreement, dispute, opinions about, I guess you would call them A, B, or C, whatever they might be. And even with those conversations, we end up not agreeing. And that's sad because we do share the same, you would think, the same principles, the same basics. But yet we don't always end up at that point of unity that we might so desire and the Lord desires. Again, we can try. We can put it in the hands of God and then pray for one another. I've had other conversations, though, with people that they're very sincere inquirers and catechumen, or maybe spiritual children in the faith. And what a difference that is. These are people who come to me and they want to know, they want to understand, even if at times they need to change some of their thinking. "Just explain it," they would say. "Explain it. Help me understand." And what a joy it is for a priest to have that opportunity. In the epistle today, it speaks of exhort. I looked up that word in the original Greek and what it means. It means to instruct, give instruction, and at times, when necessary, correct, so that people have a righter, maybe, understanding than they had previously. Some people are open to that. Some people are not open to that. And there's probably areas in all of our life that we resist that. On the back of the bulletin cover today, it talks about pride. And pride is very fundamental, something that we fight against. I fight against it. But be thankful that the Lord continues to speak to our hearts and gives us people that try to speak as well instruction and even correction at times. I bring all of this up because this epistle today from Titus, it was about and it's appointed today because we're commemorating fathers of the Fourth Ecumenical Council. These holy fathers met, and the church had division, and some were saying, and these are fundamental questions about who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And some emphasized and would say, "He's divine, only divine." And the church met in council and had to correct that with a more complete understanding. No, he's not only divine. Yes, absolutely, he's divine, fully divine, eternal with the Father. But he's also fully human, fully human. And the fullness of our Orthodox faith is just that, fullness. We don't seek to take one side or another side sometimes when there's controversy, but we try to show the fullness of the faith, the fullness, without adding to, without taking away from. And how the Lord continues to lead us into all truth, into that greater fullness, that's what he sent the Spirit, and that's why he's established the church, and that's why we have great councils that resolve things that need resolving. In the gospel today, our Lord looks at his disciples, and this is the Sermon on the Mount. We just heard the Beatitudes. It follows the Beatitudes. He says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. They will see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Your light. What light? Whose light? In the Gospel of John, two places, in John 8 and in John 9, our Lord Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He is the fullness of light. And here in Matthew, he turns to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." So when we hear those words, "your," don't think of them as a possess in terms of like a possessive pronoun, like "I have light in myself. It's my light." No. It's the Lord who is the light, and he's in you. It's the Lord's light. And also, when you look up in the Greek language, the "your," it's not singular. It's plural. I grew up in the South. We sometimes said "y'all," but a nice, more polite way of saying it in English would be, "You all are the light of the world. All of you." In other words, you have pieces of it and manifest part of it, but no one person has maybe the fullness of it. But together, the fullness is there because Christ is saying, "All of you together, you are the light. All of you together." This week at Vacation Bible School, I saw illustrated for me this teaching. The little children, what did I see? When they were singing on this very text, "You're the light of the world," they put their arms around each other. And it was a wonderful song. You'll ask Gwen maybe to share it with you later. But they were moving back and forth with their arms around each other as they were saying that. I said, "Wow, that's exactly what this text is about. You have to be united. You have to have that togetherness. And then you experience together, the whole, all of you, the light." Later, I know one little child came to me and showed me what they made in the craft portion. And it was like a votive candle lined with, it's like stained glass, but it wasn't real stained glass, but paper mache put together. And then you put a candle in it, and I'm sure every single one of those in that craft class looked distinctive. And they burned with a light inside in different ways. But it was all together. I think of our church, and I think of the leaders in our church, like our parish council, and wrestling with important questions. I mean, we've had some big issues we've had to deal with, like, and it's been in the bulletin, our hail damage and all the associated things with it, and the finances, They've been working very hard, and we don't always necessarily agree on everything, but together, different perspectives, each doing our part, there is all of you together, a fullness, and there is a light where we have that love and respect for each other, all seeking God's will, God's truth. That's what our Lord is talking about. I sometimes have opportunity to counsel young adults and wondering what to do with their life. And I remember Father Thomas Hopko years ago gave a wonderful talk on Christian vocation. And in that talk on Christian vocation, he said he wanted to use as an illustration a man he met once who said, "I'm a really good sailor." He didn't say, "I'm the captain of the ship, I'm the owner of the sailing company, but I'm a really good sailor." And he took joy that he could be that good sailor offering what he could offer to God. Be good at whatever God has given you to do. That's why in the epistle today it says, engage in honorable occupations so that you will have an income and that you can offer that to God, whether you're a sailor, whether you're an electrician, whether you're a plumber, whatever it might be. There are others, though, that don't maybe realize God's given you some ability. Don't minimize that. Maybe you can be a doctor, and I want to encourage you to go do that, even though it's a long road with a lot of school and a lot of expenses, but you can do it. So with all of that talk, though, with young adults, I always emphasize the most important thing, though, is decide you're going to be a real Christian, a real practicing Christian, that you're going to receive that light of Christ inside you and then bear witness to it in a humble way as God has given you that. And I also say, seek to marry someone that shares that same faith, how important that is, and that same practice. I saw recently, my wife and I, Linda, beautiful movie, Sound of Freedom. Painful to talk about because of the subject matter, even though it's a PG movie, but it gets the point across very succinctly about this man, real story, who gave his life and has dedicated his life to trying to save children from human trafficking. 2 million children in our world today, that's happening. More than when even slavery was legal in times past. It's a serious problem. But this man, he had courage and he had faith to go that route that was challenging, difficult, and even dangerous. At one point in the story, he asked his wife, should he quit his job so that he could devote himself to it? And he was quitting a job only shortly before his retirement would be vested. He was sacrificing a lot, and he thought his wife would say, "No, you've got family to take care of, children, let other people do it," something like that. But his wife was also very faithful, as a Christian, said to him, "We have to do it. We have to do it." Sometimes engaging then in those occupations, those callings, it's not easy. But follow that will of God, even when it takes that courage. Our Lord said, "Think not I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've come to fulfill them." That's how the gospel ends today. He's calling us all to a high calling because his commandments are not minimal. His commandments, they're intense. But what a wonderful life it leads to when we seek him in all of his fullness. Jesus said, he's come to fulfill everything God commands. And it is fulfilled in Christ by him alone, who did it perfectly. Our Lord shows us perfectly what it is to fulfill the commandments of God, the will of God. Our Lord Jesus also, by saying, "You all," he's saying, as you are my disciples, you can receive me as righteous on your behalf. What a gift that is, that he can be our righteousness, that we know in ourselves we fail, but by our union with him, we can share his righteousness. And even when we fail and fall short and repent, our Lord is there as a merciful cover for us to lift us up as we seek him, as we continually pray and repent. The righteousness of the Lord, too, overflows anything in the old covenant. It's much deeper now. Not only are we dealing with don't commit murder, but he wants to deal with anger that rises up in our hearts. Not only don't commit adultery, but deal with the lust that's in your heart and let it be purified and have it replaced with a pure self-giving love for all. In other words, become like our Lord Jesus. The theme of our vacation Bible school this year was we're all called to be saints. And the lives of the saints, it's not, you think, well, their life is easy. No, their life was full of all kinds of challenges. But that's our calling. Not only for our children, young adults, old adults, all of us. The Lord keeps saying those same words. And hopefully something in all of this today speaks to your heart. Receive it. Let the Lord work in you. Let humility grow. And with that, joy that brings glory, glory, glory to God, as we each of us seek to be faithful to him and do our little parts. The Lord said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Amen.